Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Come, holy light, guide divine. Now cause the word of life to shine. Teach us to know our God aright and call him Father with delight. From every error keep us free. Let none but Christ our Master be. That we in living faith abide, in him our Lord, with all our might confide. Alleluia, alleluia. In the 1970s, the three Lutheran church bodies that would later become the ELCA voted to begin ordaining women, reversing their previous theological position and practice. In 2009, the ELCA, or Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, voted to ordain openly unrepentant homosexuals, reversing its previous theological position and practice. The question is, what changed? At one point, ordaining women is contrary to Scripture, and then it isn't. At one point, ordaining unrepentant homosexuals is contrary to Scripture. Then it isn't. So what changed? Did the Scriptures change, or did the church change? ELCA theologians have said openly that the church's reading of Scripture has changed. That is the same as saying the Scriptures did not change, but the church changed, how it reads the Scriptures. Why this change in theology and practice? In the 1970s, when the church reversed itself and began ordaining women, it was, in secular culture, the peak of the feminist movement. In 2009, when the ELCA reversed itself again and began ordaining unrepentant homosexuals, it was and still is the peak of the homosexual movement. In both cases, the church adjusted itself to fit the world's standards. Matters should be reversed, shouldn't they? The church should be converting the world. Instead, we see all too often that the world is converting the church. It is not our job to adjust our doctrine and practice to fit the world. It is our job to adjust the world to Christianity. It is not too simple to say that there are but two spirits at work in the world. There is one spirit that appeals to fallen mankind and all that which is in fallen mankind. In the greatest ecumenical and syncretistic era known to history, this spirit united mankind to build a tower into heaven. What could have been more uplifting, more appealing, more utopic and relevant? Man will approach God on man's own terms, in man's own way. This spirit doesn't ask what God wants. This spirit asks what man wants. You can walk into certain churches today and see this very spirit at work. By the worship style, by what's being sung and said, the church has adjusted itself to the principles of the world. When man is at the center, Christ no longer is. What do I find moving? What do I find entertaining? What do I find relevant? The I becomes God. The 3,000 who converted to Christianity in the second chapter of Acts were not asking these sorts of questions. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter did not preach a sermon about how to handle your children's problems or how to fix your marriage. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter preached Christ crucified. It was our sin that put Christ on the cross for death. In the ultimate act of religious fervor, the world put God to death. When Peter spoke of Jesus' resurrection from the dead and the impending judgment to come, the people were cut to the heart and said, "What must we do? Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins," Peter preached, "and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Impending judgment is not really something we want to hear about. This is the message that the Holy Spirit brings. Impending judgment, and how by the Father's grace, and by the blood of a Jewish man, and by the gift of the Holy Spirit, God is saving you from this judgment to come. This is the only preaching in all the earth that is truly relevant. All else will pass away. If we let the world dictate to the church what is relevant, we will be preaching that which passes away, and we will no longer be preaching Christ. If we adjust our doctrine and practice in order to fit the principles of secular society, then we will no longer be proclaiming the only thing that is truly relevant, the Word of the living God. If we change our worship to be more appealing to fallen men, then we are directing our attentions and our worship in the wrong place altogether. Do we seek with our worship to please men or God? There is one spirit that tries to convert the church to be like the world, to mount up to God in whatever way we see fit. But it is the Holy Spirit who comes down from on high. He does not ask us what we think to be relevant. He reveals to us what we are to believe, teach, and confess. This is what Jesus says. This is what Jesus means when he says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words." It is the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son, setting tongues of fire on Christian heads, setting the good news of Christ's death and resurrection upon their lips and upon your own. The Lord Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit so that the world would be flooded with this good news, that sins are forgiven, that death will be undone, that for the sake of Jesus' blood, the Creator of heaven and earth is now at peace with you. So the Holy Spirit is poured out in order to convert the world to reality, to take man's eyes and turn them from himself to Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is poured out so that a man's eyes may be turned away from passing shadows to reality. Maybe you have heard that the word Bible is an acronym for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. That puts us comfortably at the center. The Bible is the proclamation of Jesus. As I once heard a little child say, B-I-B-L-E, that spells Jesus. The Old Testament promises the coming Savior. The New Testament reveals him to us. Christ is the center, not only of the Bible, but of the cosmos, of reality. The Holy Spirit calls us by his gospel, enlightens us with his gifts. He sanctifies and keeps us in the one true faith. In other words, it is the Holy Spirit who sets your eyes, your faith, on Christ. It is Christ who reveals to you the love and forgiveness of the Father. This one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is reality. When people pass away, when jobs pass away, when health and wealth pass away, when all other realities pass away, this one true God is reality. Even when all other realities are being destroyed, he is your God. It is not the Holy Spirit's job to tell me about me, unless, of course, he is revealing to me my sin. It is the Holy Spirit's job to point me outside of myself to the objective, external things of God, his words, his sacrament, his cross. in the one cross of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit can show you your sin and what that sin costs, and He can show you that your sin has been put away forever. The cross does not happen in your heart. The cross happens outside of you. When the Holy Spirit is at work, men are not pointed to themselves, but outside of themselves, to Jesus. Therefore, the preaching of Jesus' death and resurrection never ceases to be relevant. The gospel can never become irrelevant, nor can the gospel ever be dead. It is we who might become irrelevant, we who might be dead, but not the gospel of the living God. The liturgy wherein God speaks to us through His Word and performs on us His sacraments, this liturgy is never dead. People might be dead, but the divine service is never dead, because it is the divine one Himself who comes to serve us with His gifts and mercies. When heaven comes down to earth, only a fool would call it irrelevant. Today, the church in America is in the midst of perilous times. There are those who say that the only way the church can survive is if it converts and becomes more like the world. There are those that say that the church must adjust itself to be more in line with the principles of society. But this unholy spirit is opposed by the one Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son. Proceeding from the Father, He boldly takes the Father's love into the world, takes the Father's love and puts it in your ears this morning. Proceeding from the Son, He boldly takes the forgiveness of the sins into the world, boldly takes holy absolution and puts it in your ears this morning. His word endures forever, and His word is never broken. So long as the church belongs to this Spirit and this God, the gates of hell will not prevail against her. Let not your hearts be troubled, our Lord says. Neither let them be afraid. This triune God, His word, is the only reality there is. Christianity speaks to you of the reality that has existed before you were even born, and the reality that will go on existing after you die. Christianity is the only reality in all the heavens and all the earth. Everything else is shadows. The Holy Spirit is calling people out of the shadow and into the light, out of death and into life. This is why we confess that He is the Lord and giver of life. He alone establishes the one holy Christian and apostolic church, and He does not do so by converting the church into the world. Jesus once told Nicodemus that the Spirit cannot be seen, but He can be heard. Wherever people are hearing the Word of God taught in its truth and purity, wherever people are being baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection, wherever men and women are gathered around Jesus' table to eat and drink the body and blood that He has sacrificed once for all, there the Holy Spirit is at work. Amen. Let us now rise and confess one of those two creeds the Holy Spirit has given us.